Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
Rolling.
We're rolling.
All right. Hey, what's up, guys?
What's
up? I kind of expected them to like answer back.
I know, right?
I was, like, waiting
hey,
for
we're
response.
Great.
Hey.
Hey, not a lot.
Awesome. What have you been doing?
Hey, it's Easter weekend. All of us are in your hometown. That's why there's so much traffic.
Oh my God. So much traffic. It's so stupid. I mean, it's beautiful here. So.
Yeah. How is the weather? I need to know because it's getting really nice here and I'm leaving. I was like, great. Of course that would happen.
It's gorgeous. Like beautiful.
Nice.
High 70s. Well, especially my area.
Yeah.
Once you get to Aptos, it's a little cooler.
We never go there.
Yeah, no, it's been really nice. Nah. Who wants to go there? hey, guys. Welcome to Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina. We are Zooming again because I was supposed to be going to Utah this past Wednesday through Saturday. And we were told that Ruby's surgery, my youngest daughter's getting surgery on her scaphoid, which is the bone that connects the thumb to the wrist. I think that's right. But they didn't schedule it till Tuesday, so I could have come.
Yeah.
But we didn't find that out until Tuesday.
Yep. But also, since Gina, you know, didn't come through on coming to Utah, what a loser.
Oh, okay.
I'm driving back to California on Tuesday, so... Podcasts, we're going to get a bunch done while I'm in California.
Yeah.
We'll be in person and the recordings will be better. Yay! And we will not be Zooming.
Yeah. I get so excited. I came home and there was a box and I thought it was for me. And I opened it up and I was like, what is this? And it was for you.
What was it?
And I was like, I don't know.
Oh, it's Enswear.
I just kind of saw it. No.
You sure?
Devin's sending that. Yeah. It was like some, oh, that's annoying. How do I turn that off?
What?
You hear that? Oh.
No.
Shit. No, not now. Sorry. I'm still learning how to use my computer. No, I don't know.
So computer illiterate.
So bad.
Although, you know what? So am I. The more that like.
You're way better than me.
I know the basics.
Yeah, I don't even know that.
No, you don't.
You know,
my favorite is like when we need you to do something and I'm like, all right, just FaceTime me. All right, show me what you're looking at. Okay, click that. No, not that one. That click that right there. We're going to click it. It's like when you had to download podcasts.
Send the podcast.
Because you had the card with you and I was like, all right, you just got to grab it, drag and drop it. We're just going to click on it and we're going to drag it and drop it. Into our G drive. Yep, just hang on to it. And you're like, it's not fucking working.
Well, then I'm like FaceTiming you and I don't know how to turn the camera around.
Yep.
You're like, Gina. So I'm still looking into the camera.
Show me what you see.
But like backwards trying to you're show like, you.
And then you like flip it, but then the camera's like over here.
I'm like those memes that you see of all those people talking about their moms trying to figure shit out. I remember my mom could never figure out the VCR. We're like, mom, you literally just hit play.
You just
I mean, that's how I feel now.
In. and
you
hit push play.
It in and you hit play. Yeah. No, I don't know what the box was. It had like, it looked like some workout stuff or something that somebody sent you.
Hmm.
Maybe like a yoga mat and something else. I
don't
know. I didn't really dig through it. I realized it wasn't for me, but the point of me bringing it up is I was so excited because I was like, oh, Brooke's coming.
Yeah.
Coming to live with me. Yeah. So many slumber parties.
Hey, have our turbans arrived yet?
No.
They should be. I think they've been shipped.
Oh.
I got a notification. They're coming to your house.
Okay. I'll keep a lookout.
Yeah. We ordered new.
We talked about it on the last
one. Oh, we did. That's right. We've been waiting for them.
Yeah.
They're made to order. So we ordered them like a month ago. Almost a month. Yeah. Like 3 weeks or more.
They've just been making them. This whole time.
I'm really hoping that we like them. I think we'll look pretty great. I mean, we may not want to wear them like out and about, but we'll for sure wear them around the house with each other.
We'll for sure take a picture of ourselves and put it up on our Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Looking super sexy. Super. I found a really great, have you used the Oribe hair mask?
Mm.
Am I saying that right?
Oribe? Yeah, something like that. Oribe.
Oribe.
I've used quite a few of their products, but I'm not sure if I've used the hair mask.
Okay.
What color of bottle is it in? Is it in like the container where it screw tops?
It's like a, yeah.
I think I have bought that before. I have used it, but.
I put it on my hair last night. We're doing that.
Okay.
We'll put it in our turbans.
I will also bring all of the new sample products for Athea Skincare. We have new face masks and like hydrating oil and all these things that I'm sampling.
Yeah.
And I love them all. I've been using all these different products and my skin feels so good. Even in this dry weather.
Your skin looks good.
I have no makeup on. I have my eyebrows on.
All right, Apple.
No, but I'm saying like I do have no makeup on. So if you're saying it looks good, and finally it's, you know, starting to look good.
It's working.
I'm like, I have this moisturizer on and then from putting sunscreen and stuff on, I'm a little shiny, but it is what it is, guys. This is me.
Yeah, but when you get to my age, you like the shine.
No, I like
it means you have oil in your skin and you have like, it's like you're youthful.
I try
to be as shiny as possible.
I like the shine. It's just sometimes I'll see my face like typically it's like on FaceTime or if you like turn on your camera and accidentally it's front facing, you have a bad angle and it's like bing, bing.
It's like a glare. You can't see. You're like, ugh. Anyway.
So you guys, I had texted Gina because I was like, hey, we should talk about, I wanted her to watch. Hang on. Here we go. Oh, I actually wrote it in my notes. I've been trying to.
Oh, you're so good.
Well, I've been trying to write things down that either I'm experiencing or comes to mind that I'm like, oh, we should talk about that. Now I've been trying to write them down.
Like normal podcasters?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like be prepared?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably best for both of us.
Okay, so Seaspiracy.
Yeah.
Dude.
So you had texted me yesterday and you said you've got to watch this. I said, I've watched it. I literally just watched it.
Yeah, I was like, because I was going to tell her to watch it so we could talk about it.
Yeah.
But she already watched it.
It's called Seaspiracy on Netflix.
Yep.
Right? Netflix.
Yep.
Pretty insane.
Really insane. Basically, in a nutshell, talks about, a lot of things, but I'll say a big topic they're just trying to discover or find more information on is this fight against garbage buildup in the ocean, right? Like plastic. And straws, to-go cups, plastic toothbrushes, like all kinds of things like this, and this like war on straws, and this like finding out that the biggest issue, like that's all an issue. Like we all do need to, you know, everybody needs to consider our life on this planet. When they're buying shit, like we everyone does. And it's so easy to be like, yeah, oh my God, I'm never going to buy that again. Oh my God. And then the second you like you need something or you're going out to eat and they give you a drink to go and you're like, just this time. No, it's just, right. It's just so easy to be like,
actually,
I would really love a straw. Yeah. You know what I mean? But basically, the biggest issue is not but the biggest issue is not straws and, you know, plastic and this trash that's in the ocean. It's fishing nets.
Commercial fishing.
It's commercial fishing. The plastic that is they're finding in the stomachs of whales, in all fish, dolphins. Like basically, the biggest issue that if we're just talking about trash getting ingested into sea creatures, it's the biggest issue is equipment from commercial fishing boats.
Yeah.
And they say that it doesn't even matter. Even if everybody really decreased heavily or got rid of completely, you know, straws and this plastic cups and things like that, it wouldn't matter because the biggest issue is commercial fishing.
It's commercial fishing.
It would still be fucked up. It's still just we would be destined to kill off everything in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Insane.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. The guy that does the documentary, he starts out because he wants to know what more he can do for the cause of keeping our ocean safe and all that. And so he travels. I can't remember where he goes.
He went all over.
He went all over. But basically in his journey to find out what more he could do, he found out that even his favorite, I think it was, I can't remember the name of it, but
his favorite nonprofit organization.
Yeah. Nonprofit organization. He tracked it back. He went and interviewed them and asked what could be done. Anyway, through this journey, he finds out not only is tuna that they say is dolphin free is not dolphin free.
Nope. It's not that it's not, right? Because the thing about these people is they just deflect the whole time. Like he's asking him just a very straight question. Like he's just wanting to know. He went on this journey because he needs to know like what can be done because he feels like he's doing everything he can, but yet it's still an issue. And, you know, all these organizations are like, you know, against things like straws, but he couldn't figure out like, why is nothing, you know, what else can we do? But he asked the question to the guy, like, okay, so you're saying, cause on the can, it's saying like, it's guaranteed that there's no dolphin in this. Right. And the guy's like, you find out that this organization, their job, which aside from commercial fishing, they call it sustainable fishing or whatever, that they're supposed to have some, like people are supposed to be on all of these ships and they're supposed to oversee everything. For one, these ships are huge. So how is one person going to see anything? They're not.
Right.
Then he finds out that there's not always people on them. And the guy he was talking to actually has never gone and observed. So that's an issue. And then he says,
it's not being regulated.
So it's not being regulated. And there's so much bycatch. And the bycatch is dolphins, seals, turtles, sharks. And they just get mangled. And they're usually dead before they're even putting back in the water.
Yeah.
And they die in the water.
I don't even think they put them back in the water half the time.
Dude.
They just let them die. It's crazy.
Of course, anyone working that boat who's getting paid, if they get asked the question from a observer, did you happen to scoop up any dolphins? They're going to be like, nope. It was good.
No dolphins here.
Yeah, put the stamp of approval on that can of tuna.
Right. Yeah.
And they
were saying too that a lot of times they'll just go off of the word of the captain.
Yep,
which the captain is the one making the money from the catch. So of course he's going to say, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And the guy, he just kept deflecting because he was like, you know, well, he's like, well, we can't be sure, you know?
Right.
Then I can't remember the guy's name who did the documentary. He said, so what you're saying is you cannot guarantee that this is dolphin free. And he goes, oh no, we can guarantee it.
Right,
he's like, But we just can't guarantee that, like, you know, that everything, you know, we just can't guarantee it. And he's like, so you're saying you can't guarantee it? He's like, oh, no, no, we can guarantee it. It's like, what are you saying?
Yeah, what are you saying?
Just deflecting.
And then I love how he asks, he says, well, how do we know that, we're eating dolphin-free tuna? And he goes, eat one that says that it's dolphin-free. Like, after he gives the whole thing about how they don't know if it's dolphin-free or not. And you're like, wait, what?
It's insane. And then he went to his favorite organization to sit down to basically address the fact that he was addressing the percentage of plastic in this, like, the cultivated, you know, garbage islands or whatever. And the woman is saying, he said, what is the highest percentage of, like, garbage? Like, what is the actual product or whatever? Like, what's the highest, what's the thing that is the highest percentage, like, taking up most of that space? And she immediately jumps into, like, you know, straws, plastic garbage, cups. And he goes, well, no. And he gives her the percentage that was given by, like, someone who, that's the, I don't know what the proper term, not like a, he's like a scientist, like a, or like a,
right,
activist or, yeah, not an activist, like someone in, like, a freaking lab, that's what they're studying, is all the stuff out there. He said he gave her it was over 50%. So he was saying, right, what's the majority, right? He asked her, what's the majority out there? And she says, you know, straws, cups, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, no, isn't majority would be anything 50% or more would be the majority.
Right.
And he goes, because it was like over 50% is fishing nets.
I think it was way more than that.
No, it was, but it was like well over 50%.
Right.
And she says, well, no. And he goes, well, isn't the majority? The majority means like over 50% or more, 50% or more. Right. And she says, well, she's just backpedaling the whole time.
Scrambling,
trying to find, like, he has these hard numbers that has tons of, like, information and, you know, numbers backing it. And she just couldn't say anything. She just kept trying to say, no, that's not the majority, that the majority is, like, what her website, what the website says. And he stops her.
And then she kind of goes, well, I'm not in charge of the website.
Yes. Well, I'm, you know. So then she moves him to speak to the woman who's in charge of the whole organization. And he just confronts her with these numbers. And she basically tells him to turn the camera off.
Yeah. That's when you know.
And so then they have to leave. And he's so, like, irritated and confused at, like, why can't you just answer the question? Like, this is what your organization is all about. Like, we're on the same team. I'm just asking you, what's the majority of the shit out there? But she can't answer it. And she kept deflecting, wouldn't say anything about anything to do with fishing, wouldn't talk about it. And then he did some digging into the website and found out that the company he had spoke to that was, you know, that puts the stamp of approval on cans of tuna, and this organization that, like, owns that same organization funds her organization. So of course they can't talk about the topic of the biggest issue.
Commercial.
The elephant in the room. The nets. The issue is the fishing. It's not our trash. Like, yes, our trash is bad. 100%.
But it makes up like something like 4% of the problem, where you've got this other thing that is this ginormous percentage.
Yeah.
That they're just trying to ignore because they're backed by the people that are making money off of that.
And that's why one of the gentlemen in the video, he was saying, is like, it doesn't, even if everyone, like, we solved the problem of our personal trash, it would not even come, it's not going to do anything. We are still on the road to literally our oceans being empty by 2048.
Yeah, I saw that. Scary.
Oh, I was watching it and I was just like, it fucked me up. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Just one more thing that's like, you can do what you can do to try and, like, literally, it's like, well, what can people do? And one of the ladies was like,
don't eat fish.
Eat less fish. And it's like, holy shit. Yes. And at the same time, though, you think about just how many people are in our country. And then you watch the part where he goes to Asia to look into shark fin soup. The amount of sharks that they catch, cut their fins off and throw them out. And they have the numbers on the documentary of where certain sharks, how many of them are being killed a year, is mind-boggling.
It is.
And they explain too, he's like, you know, a lot of people would think like, oh yeah, get rid of the sharks. Like, people are scared of sharks. But the reality is that's the top of the food chain in the ocean. You get rid of that and like
just pandemonium.
Just so many things get destroyed. And then
it destroys the whole ecosystem.
And then you get into the whole thing where they're talking about fish and whales and things that come to the surface and pull carbon down, and they take it down and put it into the plants, and our coral reefs are dying. And you have the way they fish now is they scrape the entire bottom of the ocean, ruining everything there. It's like, you're literally,
we're destroying it.
Everything. Like, people are so, I would say this.
It's money.
Well, that's the thing. It's money. But
it's not going to matter if you have money if we don't have
100%. 100%.
I mean, do they just feel like maybe they'll be dead by then and don't really give a shit about their kids and grandkids or anything else?
Oh my God. And then, then he talks about this whole fishing industry. There's so many clips of just how many boats are out there, how many of them in certain parts of the world, they basically will go and fish at nighttime in areas that they're not supposed to. And basically being pirates out there. And how some of the same organizations with these boats are over human trafficking, drug trafficking. There's been countless numbers of people that were observers that went missing.
Right.
Because you can just throw someone over the boat. There's people enslaved in other countries that there's a couple men that they speak to that were on a boat for 10 plus years.
Yeah.
It's
kept there to work. It's crazy. And then I think the other interesting thing was, we talk about sustainability so much and how that word is thrown around. And so now people will see a label and go, oh, it's sustainable. Okay. Then it must be okay. And they were saying how none of it's sustainable. Now they have the fisheries where and you think about it, you go, oh, well, that makes sense. They're just basically growing their own fish. You know, they have their little nets in the water and they let them breed and we'll just eat from that.
Yeah. Farm.
They had a farm and I can't remember where it was. It's Norway?
It was in Scotland.
Oh, Scotland.
There's one where they do salmon.
Yeah, they breed the salmon, but the salmon are so, like, they're, what do they call it? Water? No. Sea lice?
They're sea infested. Because the issue is so when they first start going there in the documentary, I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, this seems like a pretty good, option.
Right.
You know? Like, let's actually just, house the fish that we're trying to capture and leave the bottom of the ocean alone and stop getting all the bycatch that people don't give a shit about. People that work in that industry. And some people probably work there and care about it, but they need a paycheck. They need a paycheck. So they're just like, well, I'll be dead before this causes any issues anyways.
Right. Or maybe don't even understand the repercussions of it.
But he went undercover to that, like, fish farm, basically, and got to see it up close and personal. And they're doing salmon. And what the issue is, like, you have all these fish, It's the same. It's not the same, but it's like the same thing where in commercial livestock, like commercial beef, the issue, which so many people, you know, it's like, oh, meat is bad. Beef is bad. It's bad for the environment. Actually, no, it's because it's been commercialized and you put all of these animals in a small space and that's the only place they ever live. And you feed them from a trough. You don't let them roam and actually help create vegetation when they move, like migrate through land. That's what we need. And that's the issue because everything's been commercialized. And then you have everything in
consumption.
Yeah, you have everything in one area. And then it's just gross. So the fish, they have them all in this one area. So they're just swimming. They can't swim around. So as they poop, it just keeps, they just are swimming in their own filth. They get all kinds of infection, bacteria. Then you find out what they're feeding them. The amount of fish it takes to create, just the amount of fish that it takes for them to create, like, it's just a big issue. Okay. It doesn't make any, when you actually learn about it of just how much it, what they have to do to create the food and then what that does. And then they feed all these fish and then all the fish are just swimming in their own filth the whole time. They're all basically infected and diseased. A lot of them.
Did you see that? Some of them like die from chlamydia.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like, what? They're all just fucking in there.
I think it's
no, not I don't know
just a huge orgy. But that, I mean, that was all I'm disgusting, joking. Right? Like already, I'm like, so already, I'm like, I will never, one, eat that again. Two, it is, they're so diseased that even when they, you know, process the fish to then be able to package them and send them off or whatever, they actually, the farm or whatever, they get to pick what color they want the salmon to be.
Yeah, so it looks like it's fresh. And if you because see the picture before, it's gray.
It's gray. Like the salmon that you're, the salmon that you are buying like in your grocery store right now, the salmon you are buying in your grocery store right now, the chances of it have been, one, carrying all kinds of weird diseases in it, two, that's not its real color and that's just been injected so it looks tasty for you and looks fresh, very high.
Yeah.
And not only is that...
And you could get chlamydia.
Not only is that disgusting to think about like eating that, right? But I'm the kind of person that I care more. Like when stuff's happening to animals, it hurts me so much more than when it happens to humans. Like in movies,
until she had a kid.
Like in movies,
yeah.
But it's just so fucked up.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-boggling.
It's so nuts, man. And you think about, I can't remember what war it was when they started doing commercial, like commercializing farming. It was during the,
I don't remember. I
can't remember, but that's kind of when it happened. And if you guys need to watch the documentary, Kiss the Ground. No, is it Kiss the Ground or Kiss the Soil? Hang on. You need to watch this. Okay. Watch it this weekend. It will blow your mind. Just open your eyes to, honestly, everything they're talking about, for the most part, you'll have been like, oh yeah, I've heard of that. But it will give you so much more education and understanding of basically agriculture and the effects of farming and how...
I might have seen it.
Really?
I might have seen it. Because it talks about how you want to do pasture raised rather than, and the effects on all the farming and all that. Is it, I mean,
well, it's a documentary on that, but it's called Kiss the Ground. And it's talking about, like, for the most part, it's talking about soil health.
The tree, yeah, and the trees and all that.
Well, what about the trees?
You're gonna make me explain.
What about the trees? Like the trees are good.
Yeah, you know, like the trees.
So what it talks about?
Like where they show like how the root system and how.
Wrong documentary.
No. Okay.
That's a really good one.
You know what I'm talking about?
That's about Yes, but I don't think that is this one. It might be.
Okay.
For the most part,
it goes into farming.
For the most part, Kiss the Ground is talking about soil health and how that's the biggest, that's what, like, farmers, they need to be farmers of soil. And if they're farmers of their soil and making sure, because in a lot of areas, soil is becoming dirt, which means it has no, there's no life in it. There's no microbial. And then you can't grow anything. And it's because it becomes dirt. And that's what happens to commercialized crops of when they're doing one type of crop, like they're just doing corn. They're just doing soybean. They're just doing hay. You know what I mean? The issue is lack of diversity. Well, a lot of that is to feed the cattle, but also it's for the industry. It's for food industry. Corn, you know, it's a government basically paying these farms to only produce that. And it makes more sense to them. And also, I can't remember what war it was during, but it was probably during a really hard time where that's like a guaranteed paycheck for people who were feeding the country, right? When in reality, a lot of areas, we should just be feeding our own area. But instead, we are growing mass amounts, which then is going to push you, almost pressure you to have to use different pesticides or different things to get your crop to grow. And all it's doing is deteriorating the earth. And then eventually you won't be able to grow anything there anymore. And it's talking about, but it's about soil. And in terms of livestock, in terms of cows and like the beef industry, the issue when they, you know, you learn about all of that, it's very anti-beef forward. Like that is like what has been promoted so much. And it's so easy. You know, it's like cancel culture. You know, and it's like, we just want to point fingers at something. But in this documentary, it really explains that, like, in just terms of cattle, because of commercial farming, that is the issue, but they are also the solution. And they talk about, like, before things became commercialized, and we started to put all these, you know, we need more, so like mass amounts in small areas, where they're just ruining the land and the soil because it never gets to go through a grow process. And then we have to feed them. You know, we talk about water and how much you have to feed them just to supply the cows that then supply the entire country. Well, you do that. And then all that feed is coming from what? Commercialized crops doing the same thing. They need diversity. Microbial, like the soil needs diversity with fertilizers, which would come like from composting, right? Like all kinds of stuff, all kinds of plants, all kinds of natural grasses. But because we don't have any diversity in the crop you're growing, you grow the same thing and they till the ground and grow the same thing and till the ground. And then to get it to grow, that, you know, they spray it with a bunch of chemicals and they do it again. And that's also just ruining the earth where they're growing that to feed these cows that don't move anywhere and stand in the same area and aren't doing any sort of migration. They talk about a process that is for regenerative farming. I've like literally just bought like 3 books on regenerative farming. Because I'm like, Dad, we're going to do regenerative farming. He's like, hey, babe, we pretty much already do. But yes, read those books. But it's talking about, for instance, cattle. It's great to have more of a diverse group of animals, okay? Because when they eat stuff and they poop it out, it's all a little bit different. It's not all the same thing. When you have... Okay, here's an example. In the Midwest, a long time ago, when like the buffalo would migrate and they would be in a big, huge group and they'd move together. They would eat and they'd poop and then they'd keep slowly moving, right? And all of that, all the microbials from all the animals and the poop, and they would eat and they would go back into the earth, and then it was really good soil and rich soil, and then new life, new plants would grow and they would migrate. So you can, it talks about, and it's promoting in regenerative farming or regenerative ranching, you obviously need to have the amount of space for it, but condensing your animals to an area, and then every day or every other day, you're basically going to move them. You're going to migrate them, right? So they kind of eat everything you have there. And as you move them to a new area, then they've, you know, left poop behind that kind of fertilizes that area. And they don't really, by the time they get back around to where they started, they have new plants, new grasses to eat,
right?
To get an area that has, it's already ruined and you need to get the soil back to life. It takes time, but it is talking about how you almost need the livestock, the, you know, the cows, the bison or whatever, to walk on the earth, because it kind of naturally breaks up the earth without big tills that just like chop it up. So they poop and they walk, and it sort of gets everything, you know, the fertilizer, natural fertilizer, into the earth. And that's, I mean, it's just, it's a whole process. But we're real in a real pickle, because
everyone's adapted to how to mass, you know, cheapest, mass produce, all of that.
Well, and I was talking to,
as Americans, I feel like we're eating too much anyway.
100%. Anywhere you go, they're like, oh, you're American, you need to eat more food. But I was thinking about this because I was, you know, I'm being from like Southern Utah, and anyone who comes from, it's not just being in Utah, it's like ranchers or farmers. I mean, like California, right? Like it's like the salad bowl of the United States, like all the lettuce is down there. All the berries are down there. Everything right. Is you have these families, like being a rancher or a farmer is such hard work. Oh my God. You know, it's not like we just all of a sudden got to this point. It's been over many years, right, where everything's been adapted to have to adjust to try and feed everybody. And no one really, maybe they didn't know, but or so they also just didn't really care, because big money, you know, they don't give a shit, clearly, because right, they just want to get paid. And then you have a lot of people who have farms where if they can get a guaranteed check, where like you only grow this one thing, here's your money. Like that's stability for family. That's stability for life. You know, it's very hard to now all of a sudden, it's like,
just go in and wipe it out.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so we have this issue with like commercial farming. The issue, the solution is not to get rid of. The fact that that's what a lot of people want to say, like just now make fake meat, you know, like that's the solution. Actually, it's not, because do that, we've already ruined everything. And the only way to fix it is we have to focus on the soil and we have to regenerate it. If you just ignore it, it doesn't, if you just like, you know, just deem something, cancel culture, deem that, like, you know, cows or whatever as bad. That's not it. It's the consumption. It's the mass consumption. And then it's the way that it's being commercialized. And you think about, okay, well, then what else could we do? Well, the government, if they decided they wanted to, you know, somehow jump on board of like cutting back a lot of commercialized farming and ranching, I could just imagine them being like, okay, done. And I think to myself, like all these families that have, they rely on that and they work so hard, you know, in that industry or producing this, producing that. Like you think about all the families down in like Watsonville working. Mm-hmm. It makes me sad that on like a, I feel in media on a big scale, it's being communicated in terms of ranching and farming that like, oh, you're the that's the problem. And it's like, no, you're uneducated. And I could even say like, I was uneducated. I never thought it was the problem, but I never actually understood that it's the commercialization, you know, and right, that in fact, the cows are the solution. There's other solutions too. You know, there's amazing things that are being done and studied with mushrooms and all the different types of mushrooms and what they do for the environment and for the atmosphere and for, you know, carbon and storing it in the earth and everything like that. But just the process of like migration and, you know, big, like farm animals, what the role that they play in also the process of like pulling carbon down and storing it in the earth is a very big one. So to just cut it out and just deem it as like that needs to be gone completely, like you're very naive.
Right.
You know, it sucks that we're just in terms of our country, that we've gotten ourselves to this point, but just ignoring it or just now saying we're not doing that anymore and trying to just do something completely different, that's not how you solve it. So you gotta like own up to it and then,
right,
you know, find a new equation. And when I was watching Seaspiracy, it's like all I could think of was like,
well, that's holy the difference. It's one shit. Thing to screw up, right? It's one thing to screw up your own land, but as far as the ocean goes, that's everybody.
Yep.
That's internationally.
100%. And
yeah,
like what one of the guys said is, he's like, the best way, they're like, you know what? It will regenerate. But the best way to like regenerate and fix the ocean is to leave it alone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's already just trying to think of like, I don't know, when you watch it and you see just how many areas, how many boats, how much life is being taken, one, taken out of the ocean for food, two, being ruined in the path of, you know, as like bycatch, or the reefs are dying, all these things. It's like, is it really worth it? No, but yet
no.
How, what, for one, the first thing that has to happen for this to change is people actually have to talk about it. The fact that these big organizations, big organizations.
Well, they're backed by the money of the people that are making money. I know.
Start a GoFundMe, man.
We're fucked.
And then I'm just gonna, I don't want to fully change the subject, so don't let that happen. But I just want to tell you what I was thinking this morning. Uh-huh. I'm sitting in the kitchen. I'm having coffee. My parents have like the news channel on, the local news. And of course, they're talking about COVID. You know, it is a real thing. It's an issue. But also, I think that, again, it's a great marketing ploy. And to even think about the amount of money that goes into just marketing that, it also mind blowing. You know, we could have, you know, world hunger, but make sure all the colors match and the text is the same and all the graphics are the same. Anyways, I'm watching this and it's like so many things are like, you know, commercials and things promoting like, make sure you get your vaccination. And I'm sitting there and I go, Dad. And he looks at me and I go, you know what makes me so mad? I'm like, we watch something like Seaspiracy, right? And what am I? And we learn shit like this all the time. But like this, like how gnarly the commercial fishing industry is, and what's happening, and how none of that has really been talked about, unless you are the person that is in school for something, or you're already doing the research to figure that kind of stuff out. Everyone, the masses, don't just know that. We see the organizations like getting rid of straws, and you have people that are like, yeah, get rid of straws. Like, I'll do anything to help the oceans and the sea turtles. But never do we find out it's fishing nets, right?
Right.
I just am like, you know what? How the fuck am I supposed to trust anything anyone says to me in terms of government? Like, yep, you guys, hey, go get your vaccination. Oh, we used to, you know, actually, there were some issues, but they're definitely fixed now. And you only need one, where you used to need two. Oh, wait, sorry, excuse me. Just kidding. You need two. It's like, I don't know who to believe ever.
I know.
It's literally terrifying.
I know. I feel the same way.
And all people do is like, you just fall in line.
Listeners that are saying, you know, well, there's been this many deaths, da, da, da. Yes, there have. And Brooke and I are not saying that you should or should not get vaccinated. We're just saying that it's, I think it's important for people. I think people that are getting all of their information from the news, that's dangerous. And I think, and just so that people know, I actually had family members that did pass away from COVID. I use quotes because my grandfather was going to be 104. So yes. he was pretty old. And so it was labeled COVID, although he had been bedridden forever. And my uncle, who was, not very well also. So we're not saying that it's not a thing or, you know, we're huge conspiracy theorists or any of that. And it's not political. Just because I think people automatically jump on that. If you question anything, it's really interesting to me. It's like, if I tend to question, well, you know, what is going on with this and why aren't we open or why, you know, why are we getting vaccinated but still need masks? And why are we doing this and not that? You get, like you said, you get so much information from complete opposite sides. But if you question it, you're automatically
deemed as what we are taught in school, what I was taught in college is you question everything.
You question everything.
You need to question everything. You need to get more information. And it's not so much that it's just that there's so much wrong with the world, right? We know that. Mm-hmm. So much wrong with it. And there are things that can be done to change certain things, like the fishing. Right? We don't have control over that. But the people that do have control over it, why don't they change it? Because money.
Right.
Because everyone's, because there's a lot of people, you know. But even though they all know, the numbers all tell you, like, you're really killing us here. Why don't you change it? Okay, well, everyone has an angle. And so what's irritating is that I'm so sick. And like, I'm only 31. So, you know, my parents have been dealing with all kinds of shit for way longer. You've been dealing with stuff a little longer than me.
Also way longer. But
it's like, I'm just so sick and tired of, in a way, just being like, you know, we're just in the middle of it. And people that do have power, just not doing what would make the most sense to make things better.
Well, abusing it.
You know what I mean? It's it's really irritating. And
well,
so
I feel very powerless.
You know, and you have to ask my dad and he'll tell you that he's like, well, you know, COVID, this is his belief, right? You guys don't judge my dad. Actually, I don't care what you say. He doesn't give a shit. It's a real thing, but it's a lot of stuff is being, you know, used as a ploy of power and marketing, and we're just being fed so much information. And then every time we go and do something, it's just costing money. And then you have like Big Pharma making a shitload of money. If everyone gets vaccinated, holy shit, Big Pharma, you win again. You win again. You know? Oh shit, guys, better get it again. Oh man, you better update your vaccination card or you can never leave your house again. Oh, by the way, you have a vaccination card? That's okay. Still wear 3 masks. You know what I mean? Like it is an issue, but it's like, how am I supposed to, it's like, man, the government has really, you know, they don't do much for me to like trust them. Like there's a lot more that goes on. That's like, you guys don't do anything to like earn the trust of people. Like we're supposed to believe you? Because if you think about it, like all any of us has to go off unless we are in the middle of the fight, doing the numbers, watching the deaths, in the middle of doing the test. Unless you're that person, you only have information because you read it somewhere, you heard it somewhere. That's it.
Right. Saw it on social media. Yes. Tons of really good information on there.
You know, and it's like, it's not that you read it here or heard it there, but you think about how you watch the News of the World, right? You've seen the movie News of the World?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's how they used to get their news, right? People would wait for someone to come through town and they would read them the news. They would read them exactly what's happening here, 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 here. You had less fake news being posted, like people like making their own news, like telling their point of view right. or whatever. It was more like matter of fact. Like this happened, this person died. These many people are dying from, you know, smallpox or I don't know. What's like a really old sickness?
This person was hung.
But you know what I mean? It's like now
right.
you get news everywhere. Like everywhere.
Well, and it's opinion-based.
And with that, we're like, okay, you guys, that's why we need to check everywhere. That's why we question everything. That's why you don't just watch one. You watch all sides. You get all the information. But then you learn about things like Seaspiracy and a bunch of shit that's way above any of our pay grades. And then we learn how that's a huge thing. Like that's a... that really explains a lot. Like that, it ties everything into one to one thing, one activity.
I'm sorry
but
for
yet,
laughing.
No one talks. Are you laughing at me?
I'm laughing at you.
I'm losing my shit, man.
Because because if anybody's watching this, if you guys watch this on YouTube, like when she gets, she's like,
I'm so mad.
She's got her arms up. And I can just see, it's like the thoughts are like just coming into your brain.
They are.
And they're just frustrating you more. I know. It's you're just spinning out. I feel like your brain's just going to explode.
It's sad.
It is sad. It is.
It's so sad. And I don't know, you know?
Yeah, we don't know how to fix it. But you guys should really watch the show.
You guys should watch Seaspiracy. Seaspiracy, you also should watch Kiss the Ground. I know.
I told Brooke, I said, I already don't eat seafood and everybody thinks I'm crazy. And Brooke's always trying to get me to try something. And I always hate,
I'll never make you try something again unless we've caught it ourselves.
I know. Well, that's the thing too, I know that then there's the argument of, well, that it's more expensive and blah, 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 blah. But I think that if you can get your food locally, I mean, that's a start.
That's a beautiful
thing. Buying mass produced meat and fish and all of that.
I think everybody can try
to limit that.
I've recently had a few meetings here in town with a friend who, potential business partner, worked with him in the past, but his family... Like his family among many other ones, but, and like my family were the families that settled, like pilgrimage settled in Southern Utah. And his family, have a lot of like big ranchers in the area. And he's been really looking into soil, like all this stuff, migrating sort of, ranching and regenerative farming, regenerative ranching for years now. And he has a big goal with the area here to create, basically get all of the ranchers on the same page, start transitioning them into regenerative ranching, and then get the whole area and like Utah to be feeding Utah, you know? Like
right.
Eat local, create jobs, one, have more people, like get kids. This is definitely more for like rural areas or not in cities because it's a little bit harder, I guess, to have any sort of interest in agriculture if you don't really grow up in an area where you can kind of go and do that. But that really, and I never really thought about it. And I've always loved, like, I love ranching and farming, and I love going to the ranch, and I love that I'm doing it with my dad. He retired, and we have the ranch, and we have our horses up there, and we run steers, but really just for our own family. And so we are growing. We're going to get do a big garden up there. And then my mom, we butcher our own cows that feed our family and our extended family, you know, and I think that's a wonderful thing, but I never really thought about wanting to, like, get back into agriculture or farming. But I think the importance of having that, you know, getting kids more interested in that and regenerative farming and understanding, you know, the whole lifespan of like how soil works and how we feed people and keep animals alive and diversity in plants and food and animals versus continuing to grow up in an era where it's like, there's kids that probably think like, where do chicken nuggets come from? You know? Like, they don't know what that happens.
I didn't think about it.
You know, where do eggs?
So, what kind of sauce am I going to get?
Yeah, hey, where do eggs come from? The grocery store. You know?
Oh, so true.
But it's education and knowledge is power. And we can't really make a big change on like a big scale, but in your area or in your neighborhood or in your like communities, starting there, you know, can at least really be working to have like a trickle down effect of making some change. But yeah, it's an overwhelming feeling of, wow, this is how I felt. Wow. We are so fucked.
I know. It's like dread. Dread just comes over you.
And it bums me out a little bit. It's like, you know, guys, you can't just, you know, I don't just want to do what you're telling me to do on the fucking news. I need to trust you. There's no trust with the people that kind of, you know, run everything because they have an agenda for themselves.
Yeah. Everyone's like, wow, this is a real downer. But it's reality.
Yeah.
And it's important.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. I'll stop. Here's the thing. For a while, I will definitely continue to have these thoughts and just conversations in my head.
I can see them
now.
Happening.
But for now, I'll stop doing my best to communicate them to you and all of you.
You don't have to.
Well, we should go, you know?
Yeah.
You guys.
Hey, happy Easter, everyone. Yeah. Well, actually, this is going to come out after Easter.
Just barely, though.
Yeah. Or Passover or whatever you celebrate.
Sunday. It'll come after Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, it will?
Yeah. It'll come out on Tuesday.
Never mind.
Check out Kiss the Ground. Check out Seaspiracy. And remember, you're supposed to question everything.
That's what you're supposed to do. And honestly, if any of our listeners have any more information, feel free to send it to betweentherecs@gmail.com.
And I would love it if the information was coming in a way that's like, it could even just be like your thought. Like maybe you
No, we don't need to be preached at.
Yeah, no, I don't. We really just want, we would love to hear maybe questions that you have. Like be like, you know what? I was thinking about this and I also wonder about this. Like, we would love to know that.
Right.
But thank you for listening or watching.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Watching me just spiral.
Lose your mind.
Like, almost explode and talk way too much with my hands. I'm literally, it's like I'm searching for answers with my hands. Like, am I reaching in a cabinet?
I thought you're just going to grab one out.
Throw that back. Remember to
Don't forget to
rate, review,
or remember to
Rate, review, subscribe. Rate, review,
subscribe.
Five star rating.
Warning. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yep.
Bye.